the hidden cost of technician turnover. Join passionate automotive trainer and coach Andrew Uglow as he unpacks the massive financial impact of losing your best staff and why the skill shortage might be a satisfaction problem. In this episode, you'll learn why staff turnover is the most expensive event in your workshop and how to measure the true cost of losing a foreman or service manager. Discover the three pillars of technician retention and why the industry's net promoter score is a warning sign we cannot ignore. Along the way, you'll hear stories about the reality of departure interviews and the myth that technicians only care about money. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Frictionless Workshop Podcast. Let's get cranking.
So tell me, Andrew, you've spent a lot of time talking to a lot of workshops at all levels of people. Is there something that is the most expensive thing that is not being measured and not showing up in a report that should?
Yeah, so the most expensive event in a workshop is technicians leaving, and more expensive than that is foreman leaving. And you could even argue perhaps at that same level as a service manager that leaves. I know if you lose like we did our own research, we went and engaged with some HR professionals who play in the automotive space, and we went and did a bit of track and measure to work out. And some of the measures were subjective because they don't exist, so we had to take best available. But for the most part, it's somewhere between 1.5 and 2 times what their wage is off your bottom line when you lose a good tech, like a tech that's productive, that's contributing. If you lose a foreman, you can double that. It'll be somewhere between 2.5 and 3.5 times what the foreman's wage was. And service managers are similar if you don't have a good 2IC or a good foreman. So if the service manager leaves and you've got a great second in charge who can step up, or you've got a great foreman who can keep the workshop running, then it's going to really hit your bottom line. One of the things that doesn't get measured is staff turn. That doesn't seem to be a line item, even subjectively, for planning and costs and projections of, well, what happens if I lose my foreman? What happens if I lose a tech? And now we are starting to see that in places like Complete Dealer Solutions and Errol Fernandez do those sorts of mapping, which, shout out to you, Errol, if you're watching, if you're listening. Well done. Crazy important. But I talk to foreman and I go, how many techs have you lost in the last 12 months? Oh, we've lost 6. Just like, okay, how many of those were you happy to lose? Like, some people you don't want in your business. You want them in your competitor's business, screwing them over, not screwing you over. And for the most part, they go, oh, look, 5 of them. One of them was a bit special. We can do without him. But the other 5, you know, and it's like, well, why did that happen? And we come up with anecdotal evidence, but there was no departure interview. There was no anonymous feedback form where people can just punch in what they thought, bent their spleen without any consequence. Now, I appreciate that if there was just one person to leave in the last month and you got one response on the anonymous line, chances are we know who it is. But if that's funneled through HR and anonymized, there are some profoundly useful things that you might not learn any other way. And I go back to this whole track and measure. Well, gee whiz, you want to be doing that. And often the myth of technicians just want more money comes out of, oh, why are you leaving? More money. Okay, I'm sure that was part of it, but what else? Did you ask that question? And what else? Do the whys. And why? And why? And why? And what else? And what else? And what else? We usually just stop at money. Oh, because that's less confronting. That's less painful. That's less personal. You know, we know the reality is that people leave managers, they don't leave businesses. So, you know, try those shoes on for size.
It's the knee-jerk reaction, right? That's what people are primed to say. And it's almost doesn't have any true meaning. It's a bit like when you meet someone in the street and you say, hi, how are you? You're not really that interested in how they are to that full extent. It is just a knee-jerk thing that you say, let's get into the real conversation, or let's keep moving. And that's the concern, isn't it? When the response is, oh, it's about money, particularly when, you know, I know you've talked about in previous episodes as well, the high percentage, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you said as high as 60% of techs that wouldn't recommend the industry to others. So when you've got that going on, it can't be just about money.
Right. So this comes out of the Wrenchway survey. Now, I just want to take a very short diversion. I've just asked the question, does Net Promoter Score matter? Because in the dealer world, we used to have CSI Customer Satisfaction Index, and a lot of manufacturers moved to Promoter Score from the book Raving Fans. I forget who the author was, but they're an advocate of Net Promoter Score. I believe it was them. I might have my books mixed up, but Net Promoter Score basically comes down to two questions. You know, would you recommend us? Would you recommend our service department? Were you satisfied, or how satisfied were you with the service that you received? And would you recommend us, with the recommendation being the litmus test, right? This is the tell-all. This is the dipstick, right? Yeah. How do I know I've got oil? I've measured it on a dipstick. How do I know that the customer was actually happy? They'd recommend me. That was the key defining metric for customer satisfaction and customer retention, can I offer? And so different manufacturers have different scales and scopes. Most manufacturers demand a positive Net Promoter Score, so something above zero. Arguably anything 50 and above is considered good. If you can start to hit 60s and 70s, that's really quite outstanding. And if you're above 70, and particularly into the 80s, that is like worthy of adoration and a state or a street named after you. Like, that is just truly epic to have an automotive business perform at that level, because things in the automotive world are highly stacked against the business. The business can do 99.99999% of things right and get that tiny fraction of a percent wrong, and they get smashed for it. And it's really sad, to be honest, because they got so much right, and that 1% was really subjective and trivial in some cases. So when Wrenchway came out with their survey, and I've got it here in front of me, it's called Voice of Technician Report 2026. And they asked the Net Promoter Score question for technicians. And they said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend the technician profession to a friend? Now, if you're not sitting down, can I recommend that you sit down? Because I was shocked, like genuinely blown away at this. In 2024, so 2 years ago, in 2024, the Net Promoter Score was minus 24. Now, this is US-based, and there's some elements in the US that don't cross over to Australia, so I appreciate that. In 2025, it moved from minus 24 to minus 52. So it more than doubled backwards. And then in 2026, we only had a small minor decrease of minus 60. So when we say minus 60, 70% of the industry were detractors and only 10% were promoters. So just process that for a minute. In the US, 70% of people who are working as technicians in the automotive industry hate it, because that's what a detractor is. They would not recommend it to a friend. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, if that isn't a nuclear fire on your front lawn of urgency, I don't know what is. Unless, of course, you don't believe Net Promoter Scores. You just go, oh, Net Promoter Scores, it's all flawed and faulty and the metrics are all wrong and they don't this and they don't that. And for the people who are going, well, you know, Andrew, how do you know that it wasn't just a bunch of really upset technicians who responded to the survey? Something like 3,500 technicians responded to this. This isn't just an idle, trivial thing. The other pushback that I hear is, well, Andrew, that's America. They have flat rate. We don't have flat rate. They have this. We don't have that. You know, we've got better conditions. We've got holiday pay included. We've got this. And sure, I take on board that feedback because it's true. Our technicians are wildly better off as a consequence of the things that we have by government legislation than what they have in the US, no question. And that actually shows up. They break down the different reasons. And at the same time, let's pretend, just for a number, pick a number, Anthony. Let's spin the wheel and pick a number. If the dissatisfaction with the industry is 70% of people are saying they don't like it. They're they're detractors. They're very dissatisfied. What would be a good number that would correlate here? 35% of people? Is that a good number? You know, that would make us minus 25.
The Frictionless Workshop podcast is brought to you by Solutions Culture. For details on how to get in touch with Andrew, consult the show notes below. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now, back to the podcast.
Do you know what's interesting about this as well, though, is that it can be one thing that is happening in the industry overall and another thing that's happening in the workshop business environment. And you have to kind of work between those two as well, don't you? You can have dissatisfaction with the industry and where it's going, but you can have satisfaction with the part that you're playing within it as well. So I think there's, how do you actually measure that at a local level? I mean, is that a big red flag that they actually need to do that? Is that the starting point for this here and saying, well, we know this industry figure exists. What is it actually for us?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to answer that by offering two thoughts. First thought is, if I'm satisfied in my business, if I feel recognized and rewarded and resourced, which are the three big chunks? Like, if you wanted to distill down what you should do with your technicians, it's those three: recognition, reward, and resource. And perhaps we can unpack those in another session. But if I feel that I have the resources I need to succeed, I am recognized for my success and I'm rewarded for my success, how could I be dissatisfied with the industry? Or better, how could 70% of people be dissatisfied with the industry? So one or more of those things aren't happening. Now, I appreciate that for the US, reward is a big challenge because of how they do their stuff. But if a dealership, and I pick any dealership, any brand that ran Net Promoter Score, was to get a change year over year, double backwards, like they did from 24 to 25, there would be a team from the manufacturer in that dealership doing a deep dive, is what we call it. And we would be working with the service manager, with the service advisors. There would be the business development manager would be dragging people out of the dealership and putting them on training courses to make sure that they know the right things to say, the right things to do. There would be technical training. There would be people that don't work there anymore. There would be a massive effort applied to resolving and turning that round, because you have to. How can you stay in business where 70% of the business don't like you, don't want to be there? Now, I appreciate industry level, sure, but don't tell me there isn't a corollary between industry level and business level, because there has to be. There cannot not be. And so I go, let's play devil's advocate. Let's pretend that we got 0% here. We weren't as bad as the US, but we got 0%, or we got 12% positive. I'm sorry, that's a good result somehow. We complain about, as an industry, we complain about the skills shortage. Maybe there's a relationship here between satisfaction and skills shortage. Now, hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not saying pay them more. Like, sure, pay them more, but I'm not saying you have to pay them more. No. We've been stuck playing at the tip of the iceberg, and we've been doing all the stuff that's visible and obvious, and we've missed the really important things that are less visible, counterintuitive, and less obvious. And I go back to, if the technicians are dissatisfied, well, there's a reason for that. Sure, a percentage of them are going to be sookie la la whingers who weren't hugged enough as children. Absolutely. But some of them are going to have genuinely authentic reasons for why they feel that way. And maybe if we believe customers with Net Promoter Score scores, then maybe we want to go and test our technicians and find out what's really happening for them. Because if they were satisfied, I doubt we'd have the skill shortage that we do.
Well, that's all we have time for in this episode. But if you realize today that there's a direct relationship between technician satisfaction and the skill shortage, it's time to start measuring staff satisfaction with the same rigor you use for your customers. And to help you put these ideas into gear, we've put together a dedicated workbook that includes a breakdown of today's episode and specific activities to help you identify if your workshop is truly retention worthy. You can download your copy right now via the link in our show notes. Make sure you check out the show notes as well for contact information for Andrew and his team at Solutions Culture to help you strengthen your leadership. In our next episode, Andrew will explore the CAMPS ecosystem, the customers, advisors, managers, parts, and sales teams that act as time vampires for your foreman. We'll explain why your foreman is getting pushed off their mark by constant urgency and how service managers can help mitigate this systematic burnout. We love your comments as they help us frame future episodes, so don't forget to leave them as you like, share, and subscribe so you never miss an episode on whatever platform you're listening to us on right now. This podcast is produced by my team at podcastdoneforyou.com.au, helping professionals share their expertise through powerful podcast content. Until next time, keep your workshop running smooth and frictionless.